Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6. The reading begins at verse 1. John chapter 6, beginning reading at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, whence camest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Reading once again, John chapter 6, verse 30. John chapter 6, verse 30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work?" Let's read that once again. John chapter 6, verse 30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." They said, verse 34 now, John chapter 6, verse 34. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, which has seen the Father. Reading once again now, John chapter 6, verse 46. John chapter 6, verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. Read it once again now. John chapter 6, verse 64. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 64. John chapter 6, verse 64. "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 71. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 71. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 71, our sermonic scripture for this worship service. Our sermonic hymn is titled, "Rescue the Perishing." Rescue the Perishing. Found as selection number 283 in the 1975 Convention Press edition of the Baptist Hymnal. The song is titled, "Rescue the Perishing." The lyrics are now offered. "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie borrowed that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing. call your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 47. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 47. Let us pray to Heavenly Father for every person who is not saved and to whose ears the sound of this sermon comes. I pray for salvation for that person, that thou wouldest draw that person to Jesus Christ. For those who already are saved, that their faith would be strengthened, their walk with thee would be more sure, their lives would be more righteous and pure in thee, in what they do and say and think, in all they are. Let none hear this sermon and not be blessed. Father, please, let none hear this sermon and not be blessed, but bless everyone, even the hardened, even the atheist, even the agnostic, even those who are following false gods. Father, in the name of Jesus, when the words of this sermon come into their ears, bless their hearts, bless their spirits, bless their souls. Draw them to Jesus Christ, our Lord, I beseech thee. Thank thee, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. Believe. B-E-L-I-E-V-E, exclamation point. Believe. B-E-L-I-E-V-E, exclamation point. That is our sermon topic for this worship service. I would like to have $1 billion. If I did, I think I would truly bless a lot of people and make a lot of people happy. I would like to have $1 trillion. If I did, I think I would make millions happy, because I'm the kind of person that thrives in giving to others, that thrives in helping others. But I've come to understand, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I have something that's more valuable than $1 billion. I have something that's more valuable than $1 trillion. I am absolutely certain that I have something that is more valuable than $1 billion. I am absolutely certain that I have something that is more valuable than $1 trillion. What, Reverend, is it that you have that is more valuable than $1 billion? That can bless a lot of people, Reverend. Reverend, what do you have that is more valuable than $1 trillion? That can make a lot of people happy, Reverend. Explain yourself, Reverend. Well, my friend, I'm so glad you asked that question. I've come to understand, my friend, that I could use $1 billion to make a lot of people happy. Those people could be happy on planet Earth and yet die and go to hell and be in torments eternally. I could have $1 trillion, make a whole lot of people around the world happy, and yet those people could die and go to hell and suffer eternally in fire and brimstones and hell. But what I do have, my friend, is more precious, more valuable, more enduring, more enduring than $1 billion, more enduring than $1 trillion, because I could give all the money in the world to people all over the world, and if they died and went to hell, I would have failed them. If I gave away $1 trillion, and people lived happily, so to speak, quote unquote, on planet Earth, and died and went to hell, I would have done them almost no service. As a matter of fact, I would have done them a misservice, a disservice. But Reverend, how is it that you could give out $1 billion or $1 trillion? And call that a disservice? My friend, God draws people to himself sometimes through adversity. When their backs are up against a wall, when they have no food, no clothes, no shelter, when they don't know where the next meal is going to come from, sometimes they turn to God. Giving them money without them turning to God could create a false sense of one's condition. One could say, I have plenty of money. I can buy anything I want. I'll never want for anything. And not realize that they could die and will die if they don't get Christ and go to hell. But what I have to give is so much more valuable than $1 billion. What I have to give is so much more valuable than $1 trillion. I don't need $1 billion. I don't need $1 trillion. All I need is enough money to get this word into the ears, hearts, spirits of men, women, boys, and girls all over the world and wherever man is found. That's all I need. That is a greater service and of much greater worth than spreading $1 billion. That is a greater service and much greater worth than spreading $1 trillion. So what I come to bring you today is more valuable than $1 billion. What I come to bring you today is more valuable than $1 trillion. I come to bring you the word of Jesus Christ, which is the word of life, the word of life eternal, the word of eternal life. Jesus says it very succinctly in John chapter 6, verse 47. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. My friend, I don't want to be mean, but what is it about that that you don't understand? What is it about John chapter 6, verse 47, that you don't understand? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said in John chapter 6, verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John chapter 6, verse 47. Reverend, how do I become saved? Reverend, how do I become a Christian? Reverend, how do I get to heaven? Reverend, how do I make sure that when I die, my soul will not go to hell? Well, my friend, listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John chapter 6, verse 47. My friend, is there anything complex about that? Is there anything confusing about that? Is there anything muddy, dark, dim, fuzzy, unclear about that? Is there anything cloudy about John chapter 6, verse 47? Which I read once again, John chapter 6, verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John chapter 6, verse 47. Reverend, why do you keep repeating the chapter? Because I want you to be able to come and read it yourself. Maybe you're in a place right now where you don't have a Bible, but as soon as you can get your hands on a Bible, get your eyes on a Bible. Or if you don't have hands or eyes, but can only hear, you can have someone read this scripture to you, or give you a recording of John chapter 6, verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John chapter 6, verse 47. My word to you is B-E-L-I-E-V-E, exclamation point. My word to you, my friend, is believe, 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 believe. Reverend, how do I get saved? Believe, believe, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Reverend, how do I make sure I don't go to hell when I die? Believe, 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 believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have eternal life. Then the word "hath" is in the present tense. As soon as you believe, you have. As soon as you believe, you have. The Bible uses the word "hath" in John chapter 6, verse 47, which reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John chapter 6, verse 47. Reverend, I've been in church for 37 years. I've been in the choir for 22. I've been a trustee for 28 years. I've been an usher for 40 years. I hope I'm saved, Reverend, but I'm not really sure. Sometimes, Reverend, I question whether or not there's even a God. And you know this thing about Jesus, Reverend, about a virgin being pregnant and the Son of God coming down from heaven and the stuff about being born in a manger. Reverend, I know you all believe that, Reverend, but I mean, you know, I'm very logical, Reverend. I'm empirical. I'm educated, Reverend. I mean, it's not that I don't want to believe it, but Reverend, the logic of that it causes a stretch, Reverend. You know, I have my feet solidly on the ground. I'm known as being very wise and having a lot of common sense. And I'm not one of those flighty people, one of those esoteric people whose minds are always in the cloud. I always am in control of my intellect, and I'm respected for it, Reverend. And this thing about Jesus Christ, you know, Reverend, yeah, I've been in church a long time, but I don't know, Reverend, if I'm saved. My brother, my sister, all I can say to you is B-E-L-I-E-V-E, exclamation point. But Reverend, it doesn't, I don't know, Reverend, if it makes sense. I don't want to believe something that doesn't make sense. I'm not sure that it's true, Reverend. I'm not sure. Reverend, the bottom line is, I'm not sure that it's true. And that's why you're not sure that you're saved, because you don't believe the Lord. Apparently, you've never believed the Lord, because the story sounds so extra common. So extraordinary. It sounds just a little too shaky for you, because you don't believe in Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe in Jesus, I don't see how you can be saved. But Reverend, my daddy was a preacher. Matter of fact, my daddy was a bishop. My granddaddy founded this church, Reverend. I've been in church since I was a baby. I was blessed here. They laid hands on me, and I was blessed. I was baptized here. And I've been a Sunday school teacher, Sunday school superintendent. I've been a deacon here on this church. But I'm not sure I believe. And my friend, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're on your way to hell. No matter what you've done in church, in order to be saved, you must believe. And if you are not sure you are saved, more than likely, that's because you do not believe the Word of God. And if you say that you are a Christian and you do not believe the words of Christ, that's a major problem. If you call yourself Christian, well, Reverend, I'm a member of the church, big denomination. I've held all kinds of offices in the church. If you call yourself a Christian, my friend, and you do not believe the word of Jesus Christ, no matter what you've done in church, you expect your work to give you eternal life? That is not what the Bible says. Reverend, you mean I can work in the church for 60 years and do all kinds of great things for the Lord and go out and pray for people and take communion to people and pick up the widows and the offerings and so forth. You mean I can do that and still go to hell? Salvation is acquired by faith, my friend. Not by works that any man should boast. It is by faith. You must believe the word of God. You need to come to it and read it and read it and pray and fast. Because you could die and go to hell if you are not saved. If you die unsaved, you will go to hell. It doesn't matter what church role your name is on. It doesn't matter about that. He must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I don't believe that, Reverend. I don't believe God will let me pay my tithes and do all kinds of things and go to great lengths and work in the church 70 years and then die and go to hell. I don't believe that, Reverend. That doesn't make sense. Well, come with me, my friend, to John chapter 3. Come with me, my friend, to John chapter 3. And let's begin reading in John chapter 3 at verse 1. John, the gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. My friend, Jesus didn't say anything about your church work, how long you worked in the church. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was a high-ranking churchman. But Jesus said to this high-ranking churchman, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 3. John 3, 3. John 3, 3. John 3, 3. The gospel according to John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, 3. John 3, 3. John 3, 3. The Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 3. Reverend, I don't know how to be born again. Now that you put it that way, Reverend, well, let me bring you back here. To John chapter 6, verse 47. John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. When you have everlasting life, you are born again. You cannot get everlasting life without being born again. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 47. So, Reverend, how do I get that life? Believe, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Reverend, I don't know. I've been in church so long. I've done so much. Sounds so simple. But I don't know, Reverend. I don't know, Reverend. I don't know, Reverend. I don't know. I'm a church man. I'm a church woman. But it sounds so simple. I don't know if I ever believed, really. I talk the talk. I try to walk the walk. But in my heart of hearts, I don't know if I really believe the Jesus story. My friend, I don't pretend to be able to make you believe, but I will make you aware of the condition of one who does believe and one who does not believe. Those who do not believe go to hell. The wrath of God abideth on them. Well, Reverend, why would you say that? Well, let's turn back to John chapter 3. Let's turn back to John chapter 3. Let's look at verses 34, 35, and 36 in John chapter 3. Beginning reading at verse 34. John chapter 3, beginning reading at verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 3, verses 34 through 36. I believe that's pretty clear. To get life, you must believe the Son of God. If you do not believe the Son of God, you do not have life. Doesn't matter how many years you've been in church and all the things you've done. You must believe in Jesus Christ. Let me read once again for you. John chapter 3, verses 34 35 and 36. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 3, verses 34, 35, and 36. My friend, believe. Reverend, I hear what you're saying. It's not muddy. I just don't know if I believe or not. Well, all I can do is admonish you, give you the word of God. Let me give you another scripture, my friend. Turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. The Gospel according to John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24. The instant you believe, you get everlasting life. The instant you truly believe, you pass, my friend, from death unto life. You are living in death. As long as you do not believe spiritually, you are dead. As long as you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are spiritually dead, though physically you might be alive, but in the eternal sense of life, in the eternal sense of life, you're dead. You might have a spirit, the human spirit, but in the eternal sense of life, until you believe in Jesus Christ, you're dead. Because by extrapolation, believing in Jesus, you believe in God. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24. Returning now, John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 7. John chapter 6, verse 47. John chapter 6, verse 47. John chapter 6, verse 47. Let me read it once again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In Romans chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 8, Romans chapter 10, the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. The Apostle Paul spells out the process. The Apostle Paul elaborates on the process. The process of believing unto salvation. This great man of God, the Apostle Paul, spells out in some detail the process. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Let me read it for you once again. You're looking for a process? The Apostle Paul spells it out here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Please write this down. Record this. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Why should I record it, Reverend? Because the devil in hell is blocking the word of God from your heart. You need to read it until those demons, until the devil himself leaves your life. You may be in church, you may have been in church and working for 70, 80 years. But if you don't believe the word of God, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not saved. The devil has his hooks in you. That's why you can't do what you ought to do all the time, because the devil has his hooks in you. You need to read the word of God. I can say, believe. I can tell you, B-E-L-I-E-V-E, exclamation point. I can encourage you. But you need to come to the word of God and toil therein until you get loose from that devil's captivity. You need to pray and you need to fast until the devil in hell departs from you. You need to have some holy people lay their hands on you and rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And then you will believe. 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 Let us pray. Father God, help them believe. God, help them get saved. God, help them. The devil is holding them away because he wants to keep them on the road to hell. He wants to get them in his hell and burn them forever. But God, in the name of Jesus, rescue them. They don't have peace. They don't really know Jesus Christ. They're working in church. They call themselves Christians. But they are disconsolate. They don't have the joy of Christ, the peace. They go through the motions. They have the reputation. But they don't have in their hearts the Spirit of the living Christ. Save them, God. Save them, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen and amen. The doors of the church are open. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus right now. He will save you. Believe. How do I come, Reverend? Believe. Believe his word. Believe. 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 Believe what you heard me read today. Believe it. Romans chapter 10 gives you the process. Paul spells out the process with some degree of specificity. Believe. Our hymn of invitation is titled, Come, Ye Disconsolate. Found at selection number 211 in the 1975 Convention Press edition of the Baptist hymnal. The song is titled, Come, Ye Disconsolate. While this is being offered, believe, believe, praying to God. Say, God, give me faith. God, help me believe. God, help me believe. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. God, I believe the devil has his hands on me. Make him loose me. And then you tell the devil, you say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you, loose me. Let me go. I'm going to serve God. Satan, I'm not yours anymore. In the name of Jesus, I believe the word of God. Believe. 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 Hallelujah. A hymn of invitation, come, ye disconsolate. Selection 211 in the 1975 Convention Press edition of the Baptist hymnal. The lyrics are now offered. Come, ye disconsolate, wherever you languish. come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts. Here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Let's read that verse once again. Come, ye disconsolate, wherever ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Joy of the desolate, light of the straying, hope of the penitent, fadeless and pure. Here speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Here see the bread of life, see waters flowing forth from the throne of God, pure from above. Come to the feast of love, come ever knowing, earth has no sorrow but heaven can remove. Come ye disconsolate. My friend, ask the Lord to handle that which you don't seem to be able to handle. Ask Him to increase your faith. Ask Him to effectuate your salvation. For those of you who are saved, ask the Lord to sanctify you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. For those of you who do become saved, once you know you're saved, contact a Christian minister and or ministry. Request and receive the ordinance of baptism. Be sure to read your Bible daily, pray daily. The Lord will send people aside, alongside you to help you. Anything we can do for you here at Trinity Baptist Church, do contact us.